Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gamia Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, senior pastor here at GBC, and I'm glad that you've chosen to listen in. This week, we continue our sermon series, The Space Between, reflecting on the space between our old normal and our new normal heading into 2021. And today, I want to reflect on a new perspective and an opportunity that I believe we have as a community of faith.
I don't know how you found worship. I found that, I think my, very difficult would probably be about right. I think part of my experience just in that was to kind of take the words and I couldn't tell Jared this, I almost wanted to pause about halfway through the first song so I could just think a little bit about the promises of God that will never fail. Just to kind of give me some space. And then when, you know, we're singing that second song, to again, kind of time out and just kind of let me think about the places in my life where a way needs to be made, where I need a miracle, where I need God to do something. Allow me to reflect a little bit, to kind of pause and go, okay, here's where I'm turning my heart to God. And so I hope that, you know, as we kind of work this out, and chances are, well, the hope is, of course, that we won't be kept from singing for too much longer, that there'll be an opportunity for us to really embrace some of these words that have expressed, I guess, the heart of our faith in lots of ways as we continue to move forward. I want to begin today with a bit of a reflection on, I think it's a proverbial phrase, but I don't know what the proverb is. But it's the idea that in every challenge, there's an opportunity. Maybe that's the proverb, but you know what I'm talking about, right? In every challenge that we face, there's often an opportunity for us. And you know, sometimes the challenge and the opportunity are kind of connected and we can see them, right? So there's a reason why lots of people join gyms in January, right? Because we see the challenge of trying to stay in shape with the goal or the opportunity of improving our health or whatever the case might be. Or the challenge of study, but the opportunity to learn. They're closely connected. But it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it, when the challenge comes out of nowhere and is completely unexpected. The opportunity is a lot more difficult to spot, isn't it? Like, again, I mean, we've had a year's time to think about it, but what's the opportunity in a global pandemic? Right? And, you know, and I think all of us have faced the challenges of, you know, 2020. All of us have faced a variety of them. You know, for some of us, there's been the challenge of not being able to holiday where we want to with the opportunity of discovering regional New South Wales, right? There's been the challenge of working through business plans that no longer look quite the same in a pandemic world. There's been the challenges of online education and the opportunities that that has for flexibility and all of those sorts of things. And one of the things that I think leads us to the opportunity in a challenge is that it places us in a slightly different perspective, right? We see things from a slightly different perspective when the challenge has come and has disrupted or displaced us in some way, shape, or form. And I actually like to reflect a little bit on, a change of perspective that I have had that I think invites us into a very particular opportunity that also then I think has some implications to our title for our series, The Space Between. So I hope what's clear in my mind will become clear for you. I'm not out of practice at doing this, but this is the largest group I preached to since March 15th last year. So, right, outstripping the Christmas Day service, so I'm kind of slowly ramping up. But hopefully what's clear in my mind will be clear for you as well. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Hebrews 10. 24 to 25. It's a passage that may be well known to you in the book of Hebrews. It goes this way, and I had a chuckle this morning. One of the things that I do first thing in the morning is I open the YouVersion Bible app, and I just have a look at the verse of the day. And the verse of the day this morning just happened to be Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. So I had a small little chuckle. I don't know whether it was a coincidence or not. I don't necessarily believe in them, but here we are. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you, is that a familiar passage? Right? You've heard it before, right? And I think prior to 2020, if you had asked me, what's the primary application of that passage, I would have said it's what we're doing right now. It's what we're doing right now, right? If I were to encourage people not to stop meeting together, the primary place that I would say we should meet together is Sundays. And we should meet together like this, that we should gather together for inspiration in worship and teaching from the Word and the momentum of being able to be talking about things as a community of faith, to cast a common vision, to have a common goal, to have a common mission, right? This is kind of the primary way that I would have thought about this command being fulfilled. And I still believe that that's true. But here's the shift of position for me, the shift of perspective for me. Because what has become clear to me is that this is probably not a rule, it is an ideal. And let me explain what I mean by that. For those of you who have done some of our life group resources, if you've gotten to the one about how to apply the Bible, this will be a little bit familiar to you. Daniel Doriani, a scholar in the United States, wrote a book called Putting the Truth to Work, where he basically outlined a bit of a strategy for applying Scripture. Really helpful book. And he describes the difference between a rule and an ideal this way, that a rule has a very specific application. There's kind of one thing to do or not do. Think about a speed limit sign, right? The speed limit says it's 60, which means that that's the rule. You go 60, you can't go over it. You can go a little under it, but you can't go over that. That's the rule. An ideal is a little bit different in the sense that it is obeyed differently in different circumstances. So here's his example. I think it's the best example out there. And it's the command in the Ten Commandments to honor your mother and your father. That's not really a rule, is it? Because it looks different at different stages in your life and their life, doesn't it? How children, small children, honor their parents is different than how adolescents might honor their parents, which is different than how, say, young adults who are living at home might honor their parents, which is different again to how young adults who are no longer living at home might honor their parents, which is different again to how you might honor your parents when they are elderly and in need of care. Honor your mother and your father is something that we are called to do, but how it looks is different in a different circumstances. You with me on that one? This is my new perspective, is not a rule with one application, it is an ideal with lots of applications. In other words, when you look at this passage, just have a look again and notice what isn't there. I've said this before, say it again, it's hard to see what's not there because it's not there. But have a look at what's not there. Let me read it again. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Did you notice what's not there? It doesn't say how frequently we should meet. It doesn't say how many people need to gather together to count as a meeting, although I suppose we could take Jesus' words of at least two or three, right? It doesn't say what you should do when you meet together, apart from the outcome, right, just to encourage one another, to spur one another on to love and good deeds. But if that happens, then what you do doesn't matter. And it doesn't tell us kind of a whole bunch of the details. How frequently, all those things. And you think about the people of God. The people of God have met differently at different times, at different points in their history. You think about the Old Testament, just biblically speaking. In the Old Testament, the appearance of the synagogue, right, the weekly Sabbath meeting didn't occur until after the exile. We have almost no evidence of the synagogue in the Old Testament. Instead, the people met at festival days. There were three festivals where all of them were to meet in Jerusalem, and then there were all the different regulations around sacrifices and offerings, which seemed to be a matter of, when you are ready, come and meet with the Lord. That seemed to be the pattern. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2, what's the first example of the believers meeting together? They met daily, listening to the apostles' teachings. They ate together. They shared everything together. Like it almost felt like they were living together. That's a very different meeting, but they both make sense, don't they? And at various times, in various places, the people of God have met in various different ways, meeting together to encourage one another, to inspire one another on towards love and good deeds. Now, some of you are sitting there kind of going, this is what counts for an insight these days? Like, this is not that complicated. In my defense, 1,800 years of church history is a hard habit to break, right? And not just kind of historically. I mean, for 1,800 years, the church has gathered publicly in buildings of various sizes, shapes, and whatnot, to worship together, to hear the teaching of the Lord, to kind of be this public expression of our overall unity. Happens all the time. Personally, in my life, I can probably count on one hand the number of Sundays that I have not met with other believers. And like, I was born into a, my father was a pastor, Luther minister, like I was always at church. I have always been at church. It's like, it's the thing in my life. And as a pastor, what happens on Sundays is really important. Not just from the perspective of being able to worship together and from the perspective of being able to teach and to cast vision and all of those sorts of things, but even the church growth literature. You want to know how big a church is? You don't ask the building's footprint. You don't ask their budget. You ask how many people show up on a Sunday morning. That's the key measure. There's reasons for it. I mean, on a normal Sunday, back in the giddy days of 2019, if we were going to try to communicate something to as many people as we could, it was on a Sunday. Because while we never got everybody here, we got more people than we could just about any other way. We had more people on a Sunday than who read the e-news. We had more people on a Sunday who were joining our than those on social media. We had more people on a Sunday, and so we used that. And I have to say that 2020, one of the great challenges was to realize how dependent I and as a staff we had become on, and I'll say this in the best possible way, the post-church gossip. Right? And I don't mean that in any sort of negative way at all, I'm not talking about people behind their backs, but you have no idea how many times we learned things that were happening in our community faith over a cup of coffee or tea in the atrium. Oh, how you doing? I'm good. Have you heard what happened to so-and-so? No, I had not heard that. Really helpful. You take that out of the mix and wow. And so, like, I hope you can forgive me for thinking that this is a really powerful insight that you can meet in more ways than one, right? But I think that this is actually, I think, the opportunity for us as a community of faith to grapple with, but also represents the space between and the challenge, right? So the space between is a series, is meant to talk about the old normal and the new normal and to try to bring about enough courage for us to press on to the new normal rather than retreat to the old. Right? So last week I talked about the space between certainty and hope. Right, and really hope that you took the opportunity to practice hope as we move towards that and away from certainty and control. Today, I think that the space between is between services as the main thing that we do and services as part of what we do. Not as a substitute for, but a complement to. Let me explain this a little bit further, because this has been, again, my whole life has been Sundays. My whole life, my whole working career has been Sundays. It's such a deep groove in my life that I feel quite invigorated by being able to see things from a slightly different perspective. But here's the other kind of piece in it. Because while I've recognized that there are other ways that we can meet than on Sundays, the piece that has kind of unlocked that for me is actually the recognition about what is most important for us as a community of faith. And what it comes down to is this. Over 2020, I'm sure that many of you shared my concerns for people in our community of faith. And there were various groups of people that I was variously concerned for, right? I was concerned for our youth and young adults, for instance. Not because they were relationally disconnected, but because they were obviously over anything digital very early in the piece. It's concerning. How do you continue to help people who are over the only medium that we can meet in to stay connected? I was concerned for those who are elderly in our community, those who were uncomfortable with the technology in our community, those who required care in a very particular way during the restrictions. I was concerned for them. How do we help people feel connected and cared for and all of those sorts of things? But what became clear to me over the course of the year is that the group of people that I was most concerned for, the group of people who were on my heart, for whom my heart was heaviest, were those for whom, as soon as our on-site services finished, their discipleship began to shrivel. The people that I found myself most concerned for were those people who I fear I won't know about until we are all gathered back together and we can actually kind of take a full audit of who's around and who's not. But my biggest concern were for those people who their entire discipleship, everything that they knew about following Jesus happened on Sunday and nowhere else. And ultimately, this is what we're called to. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. You get to see it again, right? Be reminded after a year. And what did Jesus come to do? He came to introduce people to God and invite them into a new way of living and invite them to trust him and grow in their faith and understanding and knowledge. In Matthew's gospel, our theme for this year is basically Jesus said, go and make disciples. Now, I'm aware of the irony that in 2021, we're not going to use John 20:21, but Matthew 28, 8-19. I'm with you on that one. But it's about making disciples. That's the thing. That's the thing. And what's occurred to me is that when I have answered the question of chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, is saying it's primarily about Sundays, I have limited the ways in which we have been able to create, foster, develop, and mature disciples. It's like trying to build a house with one tool. Now, I wouldn't try to build a house with many tools, but imagine if you only had a hammer. You can get a lot done with a hammer. You can knock a bunch of stuff down. You can nail a bunch of stuff together. But if you're going to build a house, I'm guessing it would be handy to have a saw, probably a level, a tape measure, a drill. I'm done after that, but at least those, right? That sounds helpful. If you want to be a five-star restaurant, you don't serve one thing. If you only serve one thing, you're a food truck, right? You're not a restaurant. Well, it might be a fantastic hamburger, but if that's the only thing on the menu, well, it's like trying to be a fashion brand with one-size-fits-all policy for everything, and we know how one-size-fits-all, right? It sort of fits some of the people some of the time. And this has been this, I guess, this insight for me. And here's the personal element of it. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my discipleship journey when Sundays, as good as they are, and as much as I've been here, have not been what I need in my discipleship. Right? Sundays are great for inspiration, for teaching, for a sense of vision, sense of community, catching up and maintaining some relationships. It's great for that. But there have been times in my relationship with Jesus when what I really need is someone to hold me accountable. And this is not a great space for accountability, is it? No one would be very comfortable if we said, okay, we're going to share because there's only 60 of us. So we're just going to take turns talking about the areas where we really need to be held accountable as followers of Jesus. We wouldn't have any troubles with numbers next week, would we? There's times in my discipleship when what I've needed is the opportunity to be a little bit more vulnerable and talk about the struggles that I'm going through. And Sundays are not the time to do that necessarily. Having a cuppa is not the time to kind of unload the struggles that we're having in our lives, certainly not from the pulpit. There are times in my life when what I've really needed to focus on is not kind of gathering together and worshiping corporately. It's actually I've needed to spend time on my relationship with God, those personal disciplines of prayer and reading the Bible. That's what I've needed to focus on. And I think what the insight for me, and again, you might be thinking, wow, I can't believe this is an insight for him. But the insight is that what I have needed in my life is what all of us need. That we need to gather together, but we need to gather together in the ways that will help us be encouraged and spur us on to love and good deeds. And that might look different from time to time. It might look different. Now, I'm pretty sure the author of Hebrews had no idea that what he meant was online gatherings. Pretty sure that never crossed his mind, right? Yeah, but I believe that while we have not met face to face for a long time, we have met online. It hasn't been as nice as this, right? There's something good about being in physical proximity with other people, right? And here's the space between them, where services are. Let me back up. It's not so much the space between. Here's the challenge for us. The challenge for us is this: that if I'm aware, moment of vulnerability. I'm aware that I am responsible in many ways for the emphasis placed upon Sundays. In ways large and small, I have reinforced that Sundays is the most important thing for your discipleship. I recognize that. Here's the challenge for us. If the old normal is Sundays as the thing, and the new normal is Sundays as one of the things, then the temptation for us is to see a return to face-to-face services on site as the end game. And that once we're able to sing and mingle, we will have arrived. And don't get me wrong, will it be nice to sing without a mask? Yeah. Like, no problem there. Will it be nice to have a cup of coffee afterwards and catch up? Yes, absolutely. Have I looked forward to gathering together, even in this kind of strange way, to be able to kind of talk with face-to-face people in the building? Yes, yes. But that's not our end game. Jesus did not say to his disciples, right? Go, meet ye on Sundays every week for an hour and 15 minutes to make sure that the children's program can finish on time. He said, go make disciples. And the church historically has, of course, found what we do here on a Sunday is a pretty important part of that. But there's more. There's more. And I believe the opportunity for us is to really lean into the more, so that what we do elsewhere is not a substitute for this, but is a complement to this. So that when we come together, what we're hearing about is not Well, what we're hearing about is what God's been doing in the other places that you've been meeting. So here's the question of application. And I think it's one question, two different levels, an individual level and a corporate level. And the question is essentially, who do you need to meet with and what do you need to do with them in order for you to develop and grow as a follower of Jesus? Now, part of that answer will be coming here, gathering with some people, inviting them to our place and watching the service online or gathering here with other people. But there's more. What do you need to do to grow as a follower of Jesus? And if you can identify what you need to grow in, the area where you need to grow in, that will help shape who you need to meet with. Maybe it's a life group. Maybe it's one or two spiritual friends, followers of Jesus, who you can start to read the Bible with, or you can start to hold each other accountable on things, or to begin to pray with in particularly significant ways. Perhaps it's joining a kind of a larger group than a life group to kind of be involved in a ministry that serves other people and really put your faith into practice. What do you need to do to grow as a follower of Jesus, and who do you need to meet with in order to do that more effectively? That's the individual lesson. That's the individual question. What do you and I need to do? There are certain things that gathering together on a Sunday will help us with, and there are other things that I need in my life and you need in your life, and we need to meet together with others so that we can get that done. Here's the corporate one. What do we as a church, as a community of faith need to do to help foster disciples in all sorts of ways? Let me put it as a hypothetical. And I want to invite you to actually send me your answers. Here's the hypothetical. Imagine, if you will, that January 2019, we're gathered together as normal, and we received a word from the Lord. Right? A dream, an angel, something obvious so we didn't have to worry about was that legit, right? We received the word from the Lord. And the word of the Lord was, in 2020, you are not going to be able to meet for a year. Here's the question. What would we have done in 2019 to prepare for 2020 in such a way that at the end of 2020, when we gather together again, every single one of us would have said, my faith is deeper, my trust is stronger, my relationship with Jesus is better. I feel relationally connected to people who are also following Jesus. What would we have done in 2019 to prepare for a year apart, face to face, in order that now we would all of us say, I am a stronger, deeper, more mature disciple than I was this time last year? What would we have done? Wouldn't you have loved to have gotten a year's head start on that? I would have. I mean, apart from stockpiling toilet paper, right? What would we have done? And here's the piece for it. Because what we would have done to prepare for a year apart is really what we need to do now. Complement what we do together with other forms of meeting. Our life groups are one such example of that, but what else would we have done? And I would like your answers. Because I'll tell you one of the answers would not have been, well, we would have done more church. Because the whole point is we couldn't. So what would we have done? What would we have done? And so if you'd like to have a conversation with, not now, but with those around you, about that, and you can email me at mark.rader@gamiabaptist.org.au or office@gamiabaptist.org.au. I'd love to know what you think. Because I actually believe that this is part of our opportunity. The opportunity to create and foster multiple ways, and really as a community of faith, equipping those pathways that many of you are engaged in, life groups, personal disciplines, all of those sorts of things. But for us to really help strengthen those so that as a community of faith, we are about the thing that Jesus has commanded us to be about, making disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything he commanded, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the Father sent Jesus, for us to be sent to do the same thing. So I don't know if this perspective was mind-altering for you, whether you're just thinking, well, it's really interesting what goes on in his head during a week. But I do trust that you will take up the challenge to consider your discipleship and what you can be doing and who you need to help you to grow as a follower of Jesus. So that when we gather together, what we're hearing about is not just what's happened in the last week, but we're actually hearing about what God is doing in your life in the other places, in the other groups, with the other people that you're meeting with. So that as a body of faith, as a community of faith, we might grow as followers of Jesus. It's been challenging to me individually, but also as the leader here. It's been a challenge for us as we've been grappling with this as a staff, and I trust that you will join us in that grapple as we begin to really take up this opportunity. As we return to normal, which they keep telling us will happen eventually, as we return to normal, that we recognize that as good as that is going to be, it's not our end game. Our end game is different. Our end game is about disciples. Does that make some sense? Thank you for nodding. I was going to suggest that we start kind of raising hands, but that's going to sound like a question or clapping to say amen or something. We have to figure all this stuff out in the next few months, aren't we? So, but I do hope that, I hope this gives you some insight into what I'm thinking about. But also I think the challenge and the opportunity that we've been given as a community of faith. So I want to take a moment to pray. I'm going to invite Jacob and Jared to come and they're going to lead us in a closing song. There's no need to pause in the middle of it, Jared, because we haven't talked about that. So we'll work that out later, but we'll turn our hearts to God. And then Jodes and I have an announcement to wrap up. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, as we've already reflected on, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to gather face to face. And even though we can't do some of the things that we would normally have done, it's just good to be in the building together. It's good to be reminded physically of our unity together. And it's good to be reminded of those who are not here with us this morning, people that we are used to seeing in our regular service, people that we're used to sitting next to in our regular seats. It's good to be reminded that we're part of something bigger. And as we begin to return to normal, and we really long for that, the opportunity to sing together, the opportunity to stay and mingle, to have that sense of normalcy returned. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would keep us from making that our end game, but that we would keep before us, front and center, your desire that we be making disciples. And that is a first step for each one of us, that we be pursuing you, deepening our relationship with you, growing in our faith, in our trust, in our knowledge of your purpose and of your ways, in our practice of what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God, in our families, in our neighborhoods, our workplaces. And so I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be bringing to mind the key lessons that you would want each of us to be learning in 2021. And that we might then find people to meet with, whether it be in a big group like this or a group of those that we study the word with in a life group, whether it be with two or three close friends, whether it just be a focus on our time with you, that we might be those who are meeting together in ways that really encourage, really spur us on towards love and good deeds. And that we might be a community of faith that ultimately is known not for its great Sunday services, but as a place where people are discipled, where people draw closer to Jesus. And they do that in lots of ways, diverse ways, but ultimately they are discipled. So I pray that for each one of us as individuals, as couples, as families, that you'd be leading and guiding us in that space, and that as a community of faith, you would make it clear what we can do to facilitate that across the entire life of our community of faith. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, amen.
So who do you need to meet with, and what do you need to do in order to continue to grow as a follower of Jesus? Because this ultimately is our end game as a community of faith. And what do you think we need to do in order to more effectively create, form, and make disciples of all nations in the days, the weeks, and the months to come? We'd love for you to join us at one of our online or on-site meetings in the coming weeks. For more information, you can go to our website at gamiabaptist.org.au. Until then, God bless.